The second mystery drama of Rudolf Steiner, entitled The Soul's Probation. This is Scene 6. Scenes 6, 7, 8, and 9 take place during the first third of the 14th century. A forest glade. In the background, a high cliff on which stands a castle. A summer evening. Peasants pass through the glade and speak as they pause along the way. First peasant.
See here, the wicked Jew. He will not dare to take the same path as we, for he might hear such things as burn his ears.
Second peasant.
We should show him, for good and all, we shall no longer tolerate his boldness, sneaking across the border into our quiet homeland.
First woman.
He is protected by the lords, who live there in the castle. Not one of us is given entrance. The Jew, they readily admit. He does whatever they would have him do.
Third peasant.
'Tis hard to know who's serving God, who's serving hell. We should be thankful to our knights. They give us bread as well as work. Where should we be without them?
Second woman.
Now, I must say a good word for the Jew. He freed me of my cruel sickness by his own remedies. He was so kind and good beside. He's done the same for many others, too.
Third woman.
A monk, however, has divulged to me that devilish are the means by which he heals. Be well on guard against his poison. 'Tis said to change within the body and offer entrance to all sins.
Fourth peasant.
The men who serve the knights combat our ancient customs. They say the Jew knows much that good and blessing brings, but will be rightly valued only in days to come.
Fifth peasant.
New and better times are soon in store. I can foresee them in the spirit, for pictures from the soul show things my body's eyes cannot behold. The knights are willing to bring all this about for us.
Fourth woman.
It's to the church we owe our loyalty. It saves our souls from devil pictures, from death, and from the pangs of hell. The monks do warn us of the knights, of the sorcerer, the Jew.
Fifth woman.
We shall not bear this yoke much longer, imposed upon our patience by the knights. The castle will soon lie in ruins. A vision in a dream revealed all this to me.
Sixth woman.
The fear of heavy sin torments me. When I listen to the people say the knights are plotting to destroy us, I see but good in all that comes from them. I needs must call them Christian, too.
Sixth peasant.
How men will think in days to come. Let us leave that to those who shall live after us. The knights are using us as tools to work their devil's arts, with which they fight what's truly Christian. When they are driven out, we shall be free of their control and live our lives as we shall choose, here in our native land. Let us now go to Vespers. We find there what our souls require and what's in keeping with the customs of our fathers. New teachings are not right for us.
The peasants go out. Simon the Jew enters from the wood. Simon.
It always is the same old hate and scorn, which I must hear from every side. Yet ever and again I'm filled with pain that I'm unable to defend myself. There seems to be no reason for the way I'm persecuted by the people, and yet one thought pursues me often that brings this truth before my soul, that meaning lies in all that we experience, and therefore, too, there's reason for what the people of my race must bear. And looking at the knights there in the castle, I find their destiny akin to mine. But purposely they took upon themselves what powers of nature have imposed on me. They set themselves apart from other men in lonely striving to develop forces by means of which they win their goals. I feel how much I owe my destiny for blessing me also with solitude. Depending on myself alone, I could devote myself to science. Its teachings made me realize our time is reaching toward new goals. There must reveal themselves to man such laws as nature,
such laws of nature as till now were strange to him. He will soon conquer for himself the world of sense, and out of it will liberate the forces that he will make subservient to himself. As far as I am able, I have tried to foster in this way the art of healing. These efforts have endeared me to the knights. They have permitted me to study on their land the forces that reside within the plants and can be found within the soil, so that I learn the future ways of healing. I labor so according to their aims, and may confess that on my path I've gladly gathered some good fruit. He goes further into the wood. Thomas the Master Miner enters from the wood. The monk meets him. Thomas,
I'll rest a little here. I need tranquillity so that my soul again recovers from the storms that have been breaking in upon me.
The monk meets him.
Monk, I greet you heartily, my son. You've come here seeking solitude. After hard work, you look for quiet peace to turn your mind toward spirit worlds. It pleases me to find my pupil in this mood. But why does sorrow cloud your eye? It seems that cares are burdening your soul.
Thomas,
pain is so often close to highest bliss. My life has shown me this today.
Monk, have you encountered pain and bliss at once?
Thomas,
I have confided in you, Reverend Father, how much I love the overseer's daughter. She too has given me her heart, and as my wife shall share my life with me.
Monk, she'll stand by you in joy and sorrow, a piously devoted daughter of the Church.
Thomas, it's only such a wife I want, because from you, beloved teacher, I've learned submission to the will of God.
Monk, and are you also sure of your own soul? Will it persist along the path which I could show you as the right one?
Thomas, as truly as this heart beats in my body, so faithful shall your son forever be. Submissive will he be to that high teaching which from your lips he has received.
Monk,
and as you've told me of your bliss, now let me hear about your sorrow too.
Thomas,
I've told you often of my life. When I had hardly grown beyond my childhood, I started journeying from town to town. I often changed my place of work. There lived within my heart the constant wish to meet again my father, whom I loved, although I had not had much good from him. He had deserted my dear mother because, unhindered by a wife and children, he wished to gain a new life for himself. The craving for adventure lived in him. I was a child still when he left us. My sister was just born, a short time after my mother died of grief. My sister was looked after by good people who later left my native town. I have heard nothing further of her life. Some kinfolk helped me to learn mining, and I progressed so far in it, wherever I sought work, I always found it. The hope has never left me that I would find again my father. And now this hope, fulfilled at last, has gone from me forevermore. On an official matter, I reported to my superior yesterday. You know how I dislike the knight who is the supervisor of my work, since I discovered you oppose him. From that time on, I've been determined to serve no longer at the castle. But in our meeting, for some unknown reason, the knight could give our conversation a turn that made it possible for him to declare himself to be my father. What followed, I cannot bear to speak of it. I could have quite forgotten all the sorrow which he inflicted on my mother and myself when now at last I stood before my father, who, bowed by sorrow, spoke of bygone days. But in him your opponent stood before me. One thing alone was clear to me, the deep cleft that must sever me forever from him I wished so much to love, whom ardently so long I sought. I've lost him now a second time, and so I feel the suffering I've had.
Monk, I never would estrange you from the bonds your blood ties lay upon you. And yet what I can offer to your soul indeed shall lovingly be given you.
Curtain during their exit, end of scene 6.